Storylines Midwest is a project of the American Library Association, funded by the National Endowment for the Humanities and Barnes & Noble Booksellers.
In the 1930s, a soft-spoken forestry professor took over an abandoned farm that appeared to have no life left in it.
Slowly, lovingly, he restored the land from the soil up, and in the process, he helped to launch the modern conservation movement. From Michigan Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Storylines Midwest. I'm Charity Nebbe.
And I'm Keith Taylor. Today we'll take a look at Aldo Leopold's A Sand County Almanac and talk to one of his children about life at the shack and ways we can honor the land we live on.
And we'd like to hear from you with your stories, your questions, your reflections on land ethics. 866-255-2762. It's Storylines Midwest. In 1935, Aldo Leopold bought his farm near Baraboo, Wisconsin. The farm in Wisconsin's Sand County had been abused and abandoned. The soil, sandy and poor to begin with, had lost its remaining nutrients to a few crops of corn. All of the timber had been cut, and the farmhouse had burned to the ground. Leopold and his family set about reconstructing the land. They planted trees and grasses in an effort to make the land what it was before any white man had set foot on it. Aldo Leopold kept a detailed record of all the changes that took place on the farm. Those observations make up his Sand County Almanac.
January observation can be almost as simple and peaceful as snow. And almost as continuous as cold. There is time, not only to see who has done what, but to speculate why.
The Oakwood Chamber Players performing scenes from A Sand County Almanac, composed by Douglas Hill.
Sand County Almanac starts with the lovingly observed details of the Leopold Farm in Wisconsin, then moves out into essays about Aldo's experience in other natural areas of our continent. It ends with the large essays that have changed the way we look at the world, that have applied ideas like ethics and aesthetics to the conservation debate. But still, the book is most loved for those quiet moments of observation.
A dawn wind stirs on the great marsh. With almost imperceptible slowness, it rolls a bank of fog across the wide morass. Like the white ghost of a glacier, the mists advance, riding over phalanxes of tamarack, sliding across bog meadows heavy with dew. A single silence hangs from horizon to horizon. Out of some far recesses of the sky, a tinkling of little bells falls soft upon the listening land. Then again, silence. Now comes a baying of some sweet-throated hound, soon the clamor of a responding pack, then a far clear blast of hunting horns out of the sky into the fog. High horns, low horns, silence, and finally a pandemonium of trumpets, rattles, croaks, and cries that almost shakes the bog with its nearness, but without yet disclosing whence it comes. At last, a glint of sun reveals the approach of a great echelon of birds. On motionless wing, they emerge from the lifting mists sweep a final arc of the sky and settle in clangorous descending spirals to their feeding grounds. A new day has begun on the crane marsh.
That was Scott Simon reading from a Sand County Almanac. Although Leopold is remembered for many accomplishments, he started the National Wilderness System, he established wildlife management both as practice and as academic discipline. When he added the all-important idea of natural area restoration to the existing principles of wildland preservation, he enlarged forever the environmental movement. But we remember him most as the author of a small and unforgettable book of essays.
With us today is Dr. Nina Leopold Bradley. She is Aldo Leopold's oldest daughter, and she spent the weekends of her teen years working on their Sand County farm. For many years, she's been giving lectures about her father and the land ethic he instilled in her. She and her husband have directed research and ecological restoration at the Leopold Memorial Reserve since 1978, and she is also co-founder of the Aldo Leopold Foundation. If you'd like to join our conversation, please give us a call with your impressions of a Sand County Almanac, how reading it influenced you, and your questions for Nina Leopold Bradley. 866-255-2762. Is the number to call. That's 866-255-2762. Nina, your family bought their farm in 1935. Do you remember what it was like when you got there?
I remember it all too clearly, actually. Our first trip to this great new possession of ours was during a February blizzard. Dad packed us all into our old Chevy. There were five children, mother and dad and the dog and the picnic basket. We couldn't drive all the way to the shack because of the storm. We had to stop once even and build a fire to warm up. We didn't even have a heater in the car. And finally, we walked into this desolate-looking place, this one-room chicken coop falling apart, sand burrs and corn stubble everywhere. But it was our mother, I think, who really made the day worthwhile. She thought, well, this might have some hope. And as soon as we teenagers got started in trying to restore the old chicken coop, we were completely hooked.
And you did that in February when it was cold.
Well, we started in February. And, of course, spring vacation was our big time at the shack. We had a full week or 10 days. Mm-hmm. So, of course, our first project was trying to make the chicken coop a little more habitable. And for this, instead of going to the lumberyard and buying whatever necessary boards we needed for this project, my father took us to the river, and we would walk upriver and pick up any old boards or shingles or whatever we could find, then tie them all together and float it on back to the shack down the Wisconsin River. And this is how we restored the old chicken coop. To this day, I can tell you when we go inside the shack who found what board and where.
Wow. When did you actually start working on the land itself? When did that happen?
The land, of course, we began that first year, and my father was a most amazing teacher. He didn't sit down and tell us, we are trying to restore this area to what it looked like before white man took it away from the Indians. But he got us all started. We started planting pines, which we got from the conservation department. My father was working on the Wisconsin Arboretum, and they were at that time restoring an old farm as a part of the Arboretum. And my feeling is that my father enjoyed that so much that he decided he would like to do it on his own property. So we started pretty quickly on trying to restore the land. Of course, the first year was the end of the drought, and we had planted 3,000 of the native pines. And there's a mortality chart in my father's journal which shows everything died that first year. No rain. We were not very good at planting. And so we were learning by trial and error.
How much of an influence did you have, you and your brothers and sisters have, on the direction that you took with planting things?
You mean in our final directions in our adult life?
No, as children. No. Did you all work together to decide what to do, or did your dad sort of set things out?
Well, it was sort of interesting. Mother had a great deal to do with the work habits. My father would take off with a pile of a pail of pines and his shovel, and Mother would say, "You can't let your father do that all by himself. Somebody better go help." And then pretty soon, we didn't even need to be coached. But it was everybody was pretty much aware of what our father was doing and where he was. But it was a learning experience for all of us. I think one of the things that was most important that we all learned, all five of us, was the importance of work and how it really felt good to work hard, and you had many rewards as a result.
I just want to, how often did you go out there? I mean, did you go out there every summer? Did you go out there every weekend during the year? How often was the family there?
We went every weekend throughout the year. We used to say in the wintertime that when the toothpaste froze, it was a little too cold, and then the next weekend we might not come. But it was definitely a weekend retreat. And my father was quite remarkable. He never really even invited us to go along as teenagers. He would say, "Your mother and I are going to the shack this weekend. Anybody want to go?" And, of course, we all wanted to go. Once in a while, we'd stay home and go to a party or a prom or something. But we all really preferred our time at the shack. And we'd bring our friends with us, and it was just a part of our being.
Tell me a little bit about the shack. There were seven of you staying in it. How did you sleep?
Well, we added this little one-room bunkhouse to the one-room shack. The bunks consisted of snow fencing, which we stretched from one wall to the other. And on top of the snow fencing, we'd put about a meter of hay. So each person had a blanket, and you would put your blanket down on the hay and then roll up. And then the next person would put his blanket down, and you would be surprised how many people we could house in that bunkhouse. So we came with our friends. One weekend I remember very well, my brother Carl was invited by his best girlfriend to go to the prom. And his answer was, "I'm sorry, I can't. It's planting season and we're going to the shack." He finally did marry the girl.
Well, that's good. Now, I know your father's students were working with him a lot on that work in the Arboretum in Madison. Did any of the students ever come out there and work on the farm?
Yes, indeed. They came often, and we loved having them. We worked the dickens out of them. They would plant with us. They would sing with us around the fire. They would have dinner with us. We enjoyed them, and they were very much a part of the system.
You're listening to Storylines Midwest, and we're talking today about Aldo Leopold's Sand County Almanac, and we're talking with his daughter, Nina Leopold Bradley. She's the director of the Leopold Memorial Reserve and co-founder of the Leopold Foundation. If you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call. The number to call is 866-255-2762, 866-255-2762, and we have Kelly on the line in Portage, Wisconsin. Hello, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
I would just like to say I'm actually a friend of Nina's.
Is this Kelly McGuire?
Yes, it is.
I'm
Nina.
Delighted to hear from you, Kelly.
I'm excited to hear you on the radio. I just wanted to make a comment that actually this summer I had been working in the field and had the opportunity to reread Sand County Almanac, and it was so much better. Now that I can really understand what it was saying, and I can relate it to all the stories that Nina has been telling me. Nina, I think you're just a wonderful person and doing some great things.
Oh, right. Kelly, that's very, very nice.
Thanks, Kelly. I had the same experience. I think I reread the book in preparation for this show for the third or fourth time, and it just hit me how wonderfully shaped the book is, and the shape of the sentences and the chapters and the whole book. It's just great.
And I can add to that, here I am, 84 years old, and every time I read it, I get something absolutely different from it.
All right.
I've been rereading recently the long story about my father's trying to get these essays published, and it's interesting now to look back on it and realize that the book was turned down by Knopp, by Macmillan, and by two or three other publishers before Oxford took it up.
And Oxford still has it. They did this lovely book with the photographs just this year. It's a very beautiful book.
That's right. This is the new edition, and we find it quite impressive. The wonderful young photographer, Michael Sewell, worked very hard to make it absolutely authentic in everything from the punctuation of Sand County Almanac to where he took the pictures. So we feel that he did a very splendid job.
Well, it is very, very beautiful. Nina, I want to ask you, while you were working on the farm, a lot of your father's ideas about land ethic and conservation were really crystallizing at that time. Did he talk to you about the things he was writing?
He really didn't talk to us specifically, but if you were with him, you realized all the time that there were things going on in his mind that you really didn't want to interrupt. You could feel that the process was going on. He actually didn't do much writing at the shack. He was at his office Monday morning at dawn, and that's when he would put the words together. Even his journals were very objective, very factual. But if you were with him, you realized that things were moving in his mind. In fact, walking with Dad at the shack was always a very quiet time because you felt you didn't want to interrupt. When you did interrupt, my father would give you his full attention, and he might then end up by asking you further and further about whatever the comment was until pretty soon you wished maybe you hadn't brought it up in the first place.
We have a call now from Kira in Iowa City, Iowa. Kira, welcome.
Hi. Our class last spring took a trip. We always take a class trip every year in the spring, and we took a trip to Devil's Lake, and we also visited the Aldo Leopold place. And I was wondering, Nina, if the mosquitoes ever bothered you.
My goodness, even today, they are really terrible. Of course, this area is on the floodplain of the Wisconsin River, and there's standing water in the spring everywhere, and the mosquitoes can be really, really bad. And I know from what you have asked that you probably were there in mosquito season.
Yeah, we were there in the end of May, so yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, I can tell you one experience that we had before we had screens on the shack. We were there one weekend, and the mosquitoes were simply dreadful. And we were all working and doing our thing, and all of a sudden my father said, "Pack up, we're going into Baraboo." And my goodness, we stayed at a motel. None of us had ever stayed at a motel before. And the next weekend, I'll tell you, we had screens on the shack. But the mosquitoes can be pretty formidable.
Well, Kira, thank you so much for your phone call. We also have a caller on the line from Clark County, Wisconsin. James is on the line. Hello, James.
Hello. Well, I have a couple of things I want to say. I really like the concept of a timeline through the rings of the tree.
That's a beautiful chapter, isn't it?
I love that.
Yep.
I mean, I go over and over that. And I know I think perhaps some contemporary authors have sort of copped that idea. And the other thing that I really want to talk about is I teach literature, and the majority of it goes back to what I believe Aldo was saying, is that all of us, in some form, and I don't think there's a psychological term for this phenomena, but, you know, we're all connected to a certain ground space. And parts of our humanity is what am I trying to say here?
So it's
connected with a certain land piece. Now I'm thinking of the Grapes of Wrath and that particular piece mm-hmm. of land, you know.
Yes.
I mean, totally worthless economically, mm-hmm. but that didn't matter. You know, let's talk about world issues, and I think Aldo was talking about this. I mean, the whole Palestinian issue is about a little piece of turf that people have such strong emotions toward. So I don't know. I guess I'm being vague here.
No, thanks, James.
But we're all part of the land community, which is one of Leopold's major concepts, mm-hmm. that we're not separate from it. But let me add one thing in terms of the essay on the good oak. And this is my own interpretation. But just before this essay evolved, my father had published a paper on the environmental history of the state of Wisconsin. And then almost the next weekend, we were cutting down this big old oak. And I think my father superimposed these two ideas. Here was the history of Wisconsin, and here we were cutting into the good oak. And I think that brought the essay together. But it certainly is one of my favorite essays as well, James.
Well, James, thank you so much for your call. And if you'd like to join us, give us a call. 866-255-2762 is the number to call. That's 866-255-2762. Nina, I know that your father died in 1948, and the book was brought out in 1949. How did the public receive the book?
That's a very interesting question because I think immediately it was taken up by people in ecological fields. In the first 20 years, it sold 20,000 copies, but I think it was mostly to a more professional group. And then the next 20 years, it sold 1 million copies, and I think it then found a different audience, which was a lot more diverse than just pure professional. And, of course, today it sold many more than that.
I want to get one question in about Aldo Leopold as a Midwesterner. So we know that he was born in Iowa. We know that he went out east to school, and then he went and worked for 20, 25 years in the far west. And then he came back to Wisconsin and did all this seminal work in Madison, in the Sand Counties. Did your father think of himself as a Midwesterner?
I think he really did. And the reason he came back was that while he was working in the Southwest, he had a very serious illness. He was working for the Forest Service, and he was exposed one night to a very cold, long, wet night in his sleeping bag, and he came down with a very serious kidney disease, which really limited him in his Southwestern work with the Forest Service. And then he moved to Wisconsin he was promised the directorship of the Forest Products Laboratory in Madison. He never did take that position, however. So when he was offered a job on the university campus in Madison, I think that was the right fit at the right time. But I think he did consider himself a Midwesterner.
Nina, I want to ask you, this returns to something that James was talking about. I know that it's almost impossible to define this relationship that you must have with this farm, but can you talk a little bit about what that land means to you?
I think we didn't realize while we were spending our many, many weekends at the shack that in essence, we were being rooted into the land. This was the time that all five of us really had exposure to the land and living with the land, which gave us a very specific sense of place to this particular situation. So when my husband retired from teaching geology in about 1972, he made the mistake of asking me, "Where would you like to go for retirement? Would you like to retire to the shack that was the end of the conversation. Our sense of place took over, and we came back here and started up our new studies.
But at that point, you were already a trained environmentalist. You were a professional ecologist at that point, were you? Wasn't that your life?
That's right, yes. Mm-hmm. All five of us, we couldn't avoid it. We all ended up in some kind of an ecological profession.
At what point, was there a moment of decision there? You say, I'm going to continue my father's work, or did it just grow naturally?
No, I don't think any of us really made a specific decision. With me, I can remember when I was married and I moved to Missouri, I remember writing to my father and said, I've already planted white pines behind my house under the elm trees, and they're not doing very well. And I got an immediate response from Dad showing a diagram of elm trees and the response of pine trees to elm trees, showing the farther away from the elm tree you got, the better the tree. But I think we all just evolved gradually.
I want to ask you also about the work that you've done on the farm since the 70s. Are you still working to make it what it was before it was touched?
Yes, I think we are. I think I can lay a lot of this to my husband, Charles Bradley. When we finally got our house built and we were retired, Charlie said, if this is to be a fitting memorial to Alder Leopold, it should be a place where people are learning something. And it was at this time that we started up our program for graduate students working on the Leopold Reserve, doing ecological research. And of course, we had to start out with the basics. First of all, we had a student who made a map of the reserve. Then we did the baseline studies. We studied the geology, the soils, the nesting birds, the vegetation, and so forth. And with this kind of a baseline, we were then able to start doing research. Our most important paper of all, I think, was done by Conrad Legal, where he wrote a paper on the land use history of the Alder Leopold Reserve. It was basic and really set the stage for future projects.
And then, of course, you have things like Kira from Iowa City. You open it up for high school students to come in and learn some things there, too, don't you?
That's right. We have interns working with us now. We're very much involved in restoration ecology. We have new board members on our Leopold Foundation, and we're hoping to move toward establishing ecological literacy at many levels. I think this is essential to understanding our relationship with the earth.
Nina, stay where you are. We will be back in a few moments with Nina Leopold Bradley. She's the director of the Leopold Memorial Reserve, co-founder of the Leopold Foundation, and the oldest daughter of Aldo Leopold. We've been talking about her time on the farm, both as a child and as an adult. And we'll also be taking more of your calls at 866-255-2762. That's 866-255-2762. For more information on Storylines Midwest or the books we're reading, you can visit our website at storylines.ala.org, or you can check out your local public library. Libraries have copies of the books, program schedules, and our discussion guides. You're listening to Storylines Midwest.
Storylines Midwest is a project of the American Library Association, funded by the National Endowment for the Humanities and Barnes & Noble Booksellers.